Welcome back to Anime Death Spiral, the only anime podcast written about in the ancient texts. We're back once again on that grind.
On that grind.
In those mines.
Yeah.
24/7, 8 days a week grind set. That's us over here.
Hell yeah. We're transitioning the show into sort of a morning zoo style, like Manosphere style show.
Yep.
We're going to be rating chicks. We're going to be talking about, you know, what's cucked and what's not cucked in the world of anime. We're going to be talking about what makes you gay. All that good shit. You know, we're going to pump those YouTube numbers up, right?
It's all about the numbers.
Yeah, it's all about the numbers.
I don't feel comfortable doing this. I don't think I can do this, man.
Look, dude, I just want the numbers to go up, okay? I told you from the beginning, I need the numbers to go up.
I know. It's just like, you know, it kind of goes against the whole number one feminist thing we had going on. I felt like that was a good angle.
Yeah, but it didn't get us any play. Okay, look, if you're more comfortable, do you want to go into like a kind of a snooty film bro direction? We could do that.
I think talk
about how much we like every frame of painting or whatever the fuck that stupid thing was called.
I think I could do that.
You do that?
Maybe we could do like a 6-hour video about the definitive interpretations of David Lynch movies.
Absolutely. You know what? Along those lines, while some people who know me may describe me as a film bro, potentially, I understand that is a critique that could be applied to me. I've never thought of myself that way.
That's not a critique, dude. That's an insult.
Okay.
Like,
well,
I just want to be clear. Like, they were being mean to you. Probably for good reason.
Really? You think so?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I was trying to take it, like, in a constructive criticism kind of way. I am living up to their expectations, though, because the other night I did watch film. I watched some film.
Oh, with an E at the end?
Yeah, I watched a double feature of cinema just the other night to really, like, pump up my film bro cred.
Oh, yeah, some real Kino stuff.
Yeah, these were two first viewings. Check this double bill out.
Okay, hit me.
Film one, first viewing, William Friedkin's The French Connection.
Okay, all right.
Gene Hackman, Roy Scheider as two bumbling asshole cops who do not win at the end. I was very happy about that. They're two bumbling asshole cops who totally fuck up and ruin the investigation at the end. Fantastic. I'm really glad I watched it. Have you seen that?
I haven't seen it. You know, I am a Friedkin fan. Love The Exorcist. Haven't seen The French Connection yet.
I love Friedkin. I think he's great. I think the French Connection is really weird, gross, grimy. It's 70s as hell, you know? Also, Gene Hackman, I kept writing in my notes over and over again. Gene Hackman plays like the platonic ideal of the buffoon. Almost in like a commedia dell'arte way.
He is the clown.
Yeah, except he is a disgusting, grimy 70s cop guy. You know what I mean?
Sure.
The 70s seems like, when it's portrayed in movies, like 70s New York does seem like maybe the worst era to live in ever.
I mean, that's definitely what... That's definitely what they wanted you to think about New York in the 70s.
Let's say Billy Friedkin had a pretty low opinion of basically everything and everyone in the New York scene in the 70s. But that's a fun one. Also, you know, a tight hour and a half. The second one, not a tight hour and a half. In fact, it was the extended director's cut. I watched, for the first time, Francis Ford Coppola's Apocalypse Now.
Another one on my list.
Martin Sheen. Robert Duvall, Marlon Brando.
I haven't seen it.
You have not seen this. I can't criticize you because I tell...
You just watched it for the first time.
I just watched it for the first time. Which kind of proves, like, until now, these film bro criticism, like, not applicable. I hadn't even seen Apocalypse Now. Now I have. I watched, like, all 3 hours of it.
So, did you watch the Redux edition? Is that right?
Yes, with all the cut content put back in. Which, frankly, I'm not sure if that's the better version or not. I really don't know. It's long. I'll give him that.
I mean, I did read Heart of Darkness in high school. I don't know if that counts for anything.
I mean, how much do you remember of that book?
Well, I remember there was a boat.
A lot of it takes place on a boat. The vast majority of the movie is them sailing up the Mekong River while various bizarre events happen around them. I know I'm not breaking new ground here, but that movie fucking rules, dog. That movie kicks ass. Holy shit, dude. That movie fucking rules.
I'm really holding back right now because you were making fun of me the other day for being like, hey, Persona 3 is really good. You're like, wow, way to be on top of a game that came out a decade ago.
Yeah. Yeah,
hey. So, you know, I cannot defend you against accusations of being a fucking film bro right now. Not right now.
Hey, I'm not asking you to. I'm going in the opposite direction. I've condemned myself at this point. But you know what? It was worth it because, god damn, that movie is truly incredible. Becomes very weird and impressionistic in like the last half hour. I'm still kind of trying to process exactly how I feel about that. But like every single second up till then is like the tightest, most insane, absolutely entertaining filmmaking that you could possibly ask for.
Everything that I've gathered kind of secondhand about that shoot, like nobody was really happy to be there during that process.
Doesn't show in the finished document because they're all fucking doing the thing. They're kicking ass.
Yeah.
You know what's great too is like suddenly this happens all the time. I mean, this is the classic experience, right? Is that suddenly all these like cultural touchstones make sense to me. Charlie Don't Surf, right?
Sure. Uh-huh.
I love the smell of napalm in the morning. Smells like victory, which is great because people get those lines. Now that I've seen it, I understand people like misquote these movies all the time. And this movie in particular, like when people say the napalm thing, it's a whole speech.
Well, you know, it's you can't memeify an entire speech like that. I mean, other than in like a text format, copy pasta format, you know.
You could copy pasta.
I don't know. I love the smell of napalm in the morning. That's a catchy line.
Yeah, I love the smell of napalm in the morning, and it smells like victory. But the thing is, when he says it, it's so much more subtle and interesting because, like, that's not good to him. He's not happy about victory because, I mean, part of the whole movie is, like, that they can no longer exist outside of the context of Vietnam. Like, they've doomed themselves to being, as Big Boss would say, soldiers of fortune lost.
Well, you know, Coppola has said that he doesn't like talking about the movie anymore because he's sick of explaining to people that it's an anti-war movie.
Yes. Well, and again, I kind of agree with a lot of the people who say there is no such thing as an anti-war movie.
Yes. I mean, that aside, like, that's obvious. He was trying to make a critique, you know, of the Vietnam War with this film. That is undisputable.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
And it comes away as, what, Marines with catchy slogans, just like every other military movie.
Kind of, yeah.
That's exactly what we're talking about.
Sort of, yeah, but that's, yeah, that is what I mean, though. Like, Robert Duvall plays this guy, right? He's the surfing colonel, mm-hmm. which is extremely fucking funny, and it's an incredible performance. He goes into this LZ, blows up this fucking village because the waves are really nice, and he forces his guys to surf the waves while they're taking fire from the Viet Cong. Just beautiful. I mean, beautiful. Sometimes you forget, at least I do, that Coppola is truly an insanely talented and incredible filmmaker, like singular vision kind of guy, because, you know, you lose people in the myth making of all that shit, mm-hmm. and you go, yeah, he's probably overrated. People say that, you know, we talk about Kubrick so much, and eventually people start saying, well, Kubrick's not that good, you know, like, he's overrated, obviously. He can, you know, nobody can be that legendary. But then you watch 2001 or Clockwork Orange or The Shining or whatever, and you're like, oh no, actually, no, like, legends do exist, like, masters do exist. And
yeah,
and watching
no.
this, I was like, oh yeah, that's right, Coppola is one of the greatest filmmakers to ever fucking do it. Crazy. Crazy how that works.
I mean, all the key factor here is that all those guys came up in a much different Hollywood than today.
Oh, well, of course, yeah.
I don't think that those type of filmmakers are allowed to flourish in that way anymore.
Well, sometimes I think, like, when I watch Dune, you know, Dune is also a huge 3-hour, like, war epic, right?
Yeah.
And Villeneuve got to make his big fucking war epic, but it's so sterile and boring compared to Apocalypse Now. It's
I have
wild.
Not seen either of the Dune movies yet, but I can tell you that I am intensely bored by every frame of those movies that I've seen.
There is some incredibly beautiful shots in those movies. I can't say, like, I'm bored by all the frames.
Actually, I am going to say that I don't think the desert is beautiful. I think it's bad, and
it's bad.
People shouldn't look at it.
It's bad and boring, actually.
Desert sucks, people. Get over it.
I think the problem with the Villeneuve Dune is that, like, in Apocalypse Now, 2 hours in, right, Dennis Hopper just shows up as the most deranged fucking photojournalist out in the middle of the fucking jungle out of nowhere. And he gives an insane performance where every single second on screen is, like, a gift to you. Like, it's enriching your life just by how incredibly insane Dennis Hopper is.
You know, that wasn't planned. He just did that. He just showed up on set. He was coked out of his mind.
You can believe it, though. Like, those performances are like that. He is so real in those scenes as just the most insane person you've ever seen in your life.
My favorite Dennis Hopper performance is in Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2 when he has a chainsaw sword fight with Leatherface on top of a roller coaster. That is the best movie. That is the best moment
so good.
in any movie.
Dennis Hopper is so fucking good. Holy shit.
Love him in Blue Velvet. Fucking great. Legendary performance.
Incredible in Blue Velvet. He's fucking great in the Mario movie.
Oh, man.
He's awesome. He's fucking awesome.
I kind of unironically love the Mario movie for how weird it is.
I love the cast of the Mario movie. You know, Dennis Hopper, John Leguizamo.
I love John Leguizamo. Oh, Bob Hoskins.
It was Bob Hoskins. That is an incredible cast. You don't get cast like that. You know, that, like, in Apocalypse Now, something that really threw me was, like, Harrison Ford shows up right at the beginning. He's only in one scene. But in that scene, he's, like, fantastic. He makes these really interesting, like, actors' choices. And it made me like, Han Solo fucking sucks. Like, Han Solo ruined Harrison Ford for us because he had to be a leading man after that when he could have been an incredible character actor.
I feel like there is an entire category of leading men that could have and possibly should have made great character actors, but they were too handsome for it.
Or they got a role that was, like, too big, right?
Yeah.
And they had to be movie stars.
You know, some of them were able...
Forced into being a movie star.
Well, you know, some of them later in their career were able to slide into the character actor thing. I'm thinking of, like, Adrian Brody. He tried to do the leading man thing for a while. Didn't work out for him. I think he's a pretty good character actor.
I like Brody. Brody's good. I always like it when he shows up. He's got a good thing going. I always think about that SNL thing where he does Rasta Man, though. his Rasta Man thing is, like, always on my mind.
It lives there rent-free.
Well, I mean, hey, speaking of, like, Marlon Brando is Colonel Kurtz in this movie, right? Uh-huh. And he was a leading man just by the fact that he was insanely beautiful and an incredible actor, and he couldn't really do anything else. But, like, when he fucking puts on the character chops, he's incredible. He's undeniable. I mean, I can't believe
it was a shock to me to learn how young he was when he was in Godfather.
Oh, yeah.
He was in old man makeup for most of that movie.
Yeah, you know, because if you see Apocalypse Now, Brando is supposed to be, like, an older guy, but he doesn't wear the old man makeup, and he still looks good. The man looks great. He's all bald and huge. He's all bloated up because he was on a lot of drugs and shit. He didn't even want to be there, really, but, man, he is just fucking incredible, astounding.
You know, to this day, I think the only Brando movie that I've seen is Streetcar Named Desire.
For real?
Yeah. Oh, and no, I take that back. We just recently watched Guys and Dolls.
Oh, yeah. I was talking about Guys and Dolls just the other day.
They're just a bunch of guys and dolls.
They're just a bunch of guys and dolls. Luck be a lady tonight, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well,
and Luke Skywalker wasn't even in that play.
You should probably watch The Godfather.
I should probably watch The Godfather, you know, yeah, at some point. And Apocalypse Now, and what was the other one? That's what I was going to say. I've never seen Full Metal Jacket either.
Oh, yeah. That's a tough one. I mean, if you're sticking to Brando movies, you should probably see On the Waterfront, too. You know, that's kind of the big one.
Yeah.
That was his big breakout. I think he did On the Waterfront first. No, he did Streetcar first. Oh, I'm wrong. Still good, though. Still very good.
Absolutely. These are great anime. I love these.
Anyway, I watched some other stuff, too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I watched, I mean, might as well get the live action stuff out of the way since we're already on it.
Oh, God. All right.
I made a very bad decision.
Here we go.
Not an anti-film bro decision. I decided to watch that new live action adaptation of Parasite. Do you know about this?
Oh, yeah. I saw a poster online for that. And I think maybe it was, is it on Netflix? Is it a Netflix thing?
Yeah, it's on Netflix.
Yeah, I saw it advertised on the front page when I was scrolling. What's the deal with that? Is that a new thing?
It's brand new. We've talked about it before the show. I'm a big Parasite fan. I really like Parasite. I've read the original. I read the short story collections. I watched the revamped anime Parasite The Maxim, where really the only change they made from the original story is that the main character wears glasses. That's it's such a weird choice. But I like that anime, too. I think they did a pretty good job converting it. And so I went into this thinking this one's called Parasite : The Gray.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought
it was going to be about fighting wolves.
You know, one of the first things he kills in the manga is a dog that gets a parasite in it. So,
well, that's a straight up reference to The Thing.
It is, yes. Well, I mean, the whole thing is kind of...
The whole thing's a thing.
The whole thing is The Thing. I mean, yeah. You can't get around that.
That's how I described it to my wife. I said it's The Thing, but it's like also superheroes fighting each other.
No, it's The Thing, but what if The Thing was like a buddy cop and the buddy cop was between a guy and The Thing? Like that is Parasite.
Oh.
So I kind of went into this thinking, okay, so they're going to redo the manga, right? But like in a new context, they're going to do live action. Obviously, that's a big change. They're going to do, it's Korean, so that's going to be a big change as well.
Oh, you see, I didn't know that. That's interesting.
Yes, it's a Korean version. And once again, I had my expectations subverted because my big worry, which anyone I think would have going into a live action Parasite, is, oh my God, it's going to look bad, right?
Yeah.
You have to do so much CGI work to make a guy's head peel back into like meat razors.
Well, what did you think of the CGI in the original live action Parasite?
I have not watched any other live action Parasite.
Oh, well, there is another, there's a Japanese television live action Parasite movie series, I think. And I've seen some clips of the CGI on that. It's like, it's not great.
Let me take a quick look at the live action and I'll compare them.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Take a look.
So obviously this is a faithful adaptation. We've got Migi. We see their first meeting. We see the original scene that starts off the comic of the guy eating his wife. I wonder if, did you watch this? I guess not.
No, I've just seen clips.
Do you think they do the dick hand?
I think I'm looking at it right now.
Of the dick hand?
Oh, wait, no. No, I don't think so.
That's a shame. You need to be brave to pull that off. It doesn't look great, but at the same time, it has, I don't know, a kind of a cartoony quality to it that I don't hate, you know? It's a little bit endearing.
You know what I always thought would be kind of a cool concept?
What?
That would fit with this? Merged live-action claymation, where the parasite stuff is claymation modeled onto the people.
Oh, man. It's just a side note, but have you watched the trailer for Stop Motion?
No, not yet.
Oh, man.
All right, I'm going to look that up later.
I'm excited for that. Anyway, so the new one, Parasite the Gray, takes it much more seriously. It is, like, deadly serious. CGI version of these concepts. And it looks good. I think they did a really good job. You see, like, right off the bat, head peel back, meat razor. It's in the first scene, naturally.
Classic. I mean, it's a cool monster concept. Everyone loves that guy.
It's awesome. It's kick-ass. And they do a couple other versions of it. They do the starfish head with the eye stalks floating in front.
Yeah.
Sort of like kind of a Beetlejuice throwback, you know what I mean? But really freaky and weird and scary. Which is cool. It looks great. I think they did a really good job. Unfortunately, everything else about it sucks really bad. It's not good.
So what's the deal, though? What did they change?
So it's completely different story. Like, completely. Like,
okay, it's not even an adaptation.
They don't even try. So the main character is a grocery store clerk who gets assaulted on the way home by some incel. She gets a just by accident, she gets a bug at the same time that the incel is stabbing her to death. So she survives.
Okay.
Now, that's fine. That's a fine setup. Problem starts with the very first scene. Like I mentioned, we have the guy going full head meat razor, but he does it in the middle of a music festival.
Ew.
And he just goes wild, starts murdering the crowd like indiscriminately.
So there's no pretense of trying to keep this secret. It's balls to the wall.
Yeah, exactly. So from second one, we understand that, like, people know about these things. And about halfway through the episode, we are introduced to what seems to be the secondary main character, which is a woman leading an anti-parasite police squad task force.
Parasite stars.
Yeah, which fucking sucks. It sucks so bad. It turns it into, like, the most rote crime drama. It goes from a very interesting, like, The Thing but buddy cop story to taking it to, like mid-2000s, like, Fox TV era, like, a police procedural but mashed up with, like, Invasion of the Body Snatchers. So they immediately discover, like, a nest of them. They've, like, the other parasites are gathering each other up, and they have, like, a little club symbol that they're passing around.
You know, they capture one, and they have Kiefer Sutherland torture him to get information out.
No, they literally do that. No, they do. They capture one.
Of course,
and
they do.
Like,
of course,
torture
they do.
It, and they drive it around in a van, and they use it to detect other ones.
That's fucked up.
That is just lame, because it's a genericization of the concept that was cool, and it takes it just to the most, like, bullshit, boring version of that story. The second thing that really ruins it for me is, like I said again, the strength being the buddy cop thing between Migi and, I hate to say it, but I don't remember the other guy's name, the main character's name. He's less interesting than Migi, obviously. So our girl, like, wakes up in the hospital. She's got the stab wounds. And obviously the expectation is, oh, she's going to have her own Migi, right?
Right. The main kid you were trying to think of is Shinichi, by the way.
Shinichi. Yes. Migi and Shinichi.
Yeah. But yeah, you think she's going to have her own parasite, right?
Yeah. She does not.
Oh.
When she gets cornered by other parasites and they start asking her if she's one of them, we are introduced to the central conceit, being that the parasite inside her completely takes over and she blacks out during these scenarios.
Oh, okay.
They do not interact with each other. That completely defeats the point of, like, the single best thing about Parasite being the friendship between Shinichi and Migi. Like, that is the best part. How do you fuck this up is, I guess, what I am asking.
You can't show a cop like that anymore.
I mean, she's not a cop, though. She's a grocery store clerk.
Oh, okay.
Who gets a fucking thing in her.
I got confused. I thought you were talking about one of the police. Okay, I get you now.
No, she is our secondary main character.
Okay.
She's doing the investigation and extermination of the parasites. Our main girl is the Shinichi and Migi, except her Migi never interacts with her because she blacks out during those alien parts.
So what is the parasite, like, do? Do we get to see what it's doing? Well, she's blacked out.
The one scene that I got through, because I have to admit, I could not even finish the first episode. I bounced out. I was so bored. The first scene we get of it is it grows out of the side of her face. Instead of taking over the whole head, it only takes over a side of her head, which is our sign that it did not completely claim her body, right?
Right.
Just like Migi, it could only take over half, apparently because it was healing her from the incel attack.
Well, that was nice of it.
Yeah, but it just fully takes her over. Her voice changes. She has like a gravelly alien voice, and it like grows out, you know, and it has like kind of a bug. It has sort of like an insect pincer instead of a scythe, which I thought was a weird choice. And then it just like it leaves her notes.
I don't know.
Which sucks.
I mean,
it sucks.
It sucks that it's not the same as Parasite, I guess. I could see this working. You know, maybe they do interact later on down the line. Who knows? You said you only watched one episode.
Well, barely even one.
So
I did not finish. I couldn't finish. I was so fucking bored.
I don't know. I think the concept is strong enough to stand up to even mediocre writing. I might give it a shot.
Well, you could tell me then, because I just could not stand it. I mean, the fact that like they devoted half the episode to like being like, oh, we're like the badass bug hunters.
I do not like the special cop task force that are like the parasite hunters. I think that's stupid.
It's awful. Part of the charm of Parasite, the Migi Shinichi Parasite, is that like humans are pretty much A, oblivious, and B, helpless against the parasites. He has to stand up as like, you know, the one person who can actually fight against them, which is cool. That's a cool thing.
And a basic storytelling like archetype to work from.
Yes, exactly. Like the most basic, okay, here's our protagonist hero character, right? I'm not saying it's groundbreaking, but it is entertaining. And also the charm is, of course, meeting other parasites who are trying to fit into society and them becoming infected by humanity.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like the fun, interesting science fiction aspect of it, is that they infect humans and humans infect them back. Like, that is fucking cool. And here we have them forming secret societies and building human farms in like abandoned buildings so that the cops can raid the abandoned buildings and look super fucking cool with their like pump action shotguns. It's I was really mad. I wasn't expecting anything, but I left mad.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, that is unfortunate.
Cool, man. Cool. Another live action anime adaptation on Netflix.
When are they going to learn? When are they going to learn? They should just stop trying.
We're guilty of this too. We approved of One Piece too much. we really inflated them.
I gotta do some soul searching about that one.
Should have been harsher.
I didn't know it was gonna end up like this.
I didn't think I'd go out like this.
Yeah.
we gotta be harsher on these things. Luckily, I think nobody actually liked that Yu Yu Hakusho adaptation.
Oh, I barely watched one episode. I couldn't get through it.
See, exactly. That was exactly my experience with this.
Yeah, no, I feel you. Not a great track record so far, Netflix. Got to step up your game. Come on now.
Yeah, thank God that was the only non-anime I watched, because I went straight back to some anime after that.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, tell me about some of this anime, because I also watched some anime.
Oh, yeah, you did?
Yeah.
We got some anime?
Yeah, I think...
This show's finally picking up.
Yeah. Well, do you want to talk about the one that we both watched?
Well, let me talk about the finales of the two shows I watched.
Okay, all right. What do you got to wrap up?
We finished Winter, right?
Uh-huh.
Like we said, Dungeon Meshi's continuing, but I did watch the final episode of Butchigiri, which had an actual ending, which is refreshing, you know?
Oh, so it's a closed book.
It's a closed book, yes.
Now, is Butchigiri an original anime, or is it based off a manga or something?
It's original. I thought it was a remake of an older anime that's called Butchigiri, but it turns out that is something completely different. I don't know what happened there. Maybe a miscommunication. I don't know.
Well, it's like Cronenberg's Crimes of the Future. He has two completely different films with the same name.
Except they're like completely and totally unrelated. Completely different people made them. And yet they have weird similarities. Delinquentism is a big theme in both of these. Except the original Butchigiri is about like a delinquent playing baseball, And this Bujigiri is about a delinquent coming out of the closet. So
I don't know. That sounds more interesting than baseball, honestly. A baseball fucking sucks.
Oh, I'm way more interested in delinquents coming out of the closet. I think that's a way better anime. The finale is very strange. I had been talking about how it played very coy with like how gay the show is, but then in the final episode, they make it so supremely clear that the boys fighting each other is a metaphor, a visual metaphor for them fucking each other. Like, the show literally stops down and looks at the audience and goes, fighting is the same as fucking. Like, straight to the camera, down the barrel. Like, hey, dumbass, do you get it now? Do you get it? it's wild.
I mean, I can respect that. Sometimes you have to beat your audience over the head with that message.
Yeah, I wonder how they got it past the censors. That's all I could say.
Well,
good on them.
I mean, on cursory glance, I can tell you that Bujigiri aired at like 3 a.m. in Japan.
Did it?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's funny. It's a good time for it, I guess.
Yeah.
The Adult Swim slot.
I give, you know, props for them for getting it on television. That that's about as good as you can do, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I think I mentioned when the show started, but it's by Hiroko Utsumi, who was the director of Free. Remember?
Yeah.
The very like boy toy swimming anime.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
so I don't know, maybe people are kind of picking up what she was putting down.
She also did Skate the Infinity.
Yes, which I despised, but yeah, that's neither here nor there. Also kind of gay. I'll give it that a little bit. Did Banana Fish, which is very gay. So there is a pedigree there. I just think this one is interesting. Shonen anime coming out and saying like fighting is just a visual metaphor. It's just an expression of fucking like between men is very bold and extremely funny to do in the anime space. Putting that in the context of all other anime is just fantastic. I really liked it. It's got some weird shit in it. Some weird shit.
Well, that's always fun.
The girl who really wants to fuck her brother, and that's like her whole gag, is like, can we please stop doing that? Can we please stop that?
Yeah.
I'm asking all of anime dumb, can we please stop doing incest shit? It sucks. It's really sucky and bad.
That is going to come back up later. I just want to warn you on that.
Yeah, it's an uphill battle. I understand. I am definitely on the losing side of that war. But Bujigiri, I guess, you know, overall, very positive. Very positive about Bujigiri.
Well, what else finished up?
Also very positive about the other thing that finished up, which was Witch and the Beast. You know, a manga that I fucking love. I love the shit out of it. And as you might expect, this one did not have some kind of like clean ending. They are definitely rallying for a second season, which I really hope they get.
They're really playing up the will they, won't they between the Witch and the Beast.
What do they call that? Autogynephilia?
The Witch is the Beast and they are into each other.
I mean, yes, literally. You should go read it. The final thing, I mean, they end on a wrap up like flashback to the original meeting between Ashaf and Guido.
You can't call a character Guido.
He's Guido. His name's Guido. Sorry.
You can't do that.
His name's Guido. I don't know what to tell you, man. Take it up with the fucking mangaka.
It's like, you've seen Cemetery Man, obviously, right?
De la Morte de l'Amour.
Calling the fat side character Gnocchi. You can't do that.
Oh, no, that's good. That's good. So they drop, what's great is they play absolutely the fucking like ace in the hole right at the last second, which is like introducing the fantastic concept of like, I hate to call it a multiverse because that's such a loaded term now and it's really lame.
Oh man, multiverses are so cool. I love it.
You love multiverses.
When everything is a multiverse.
Yeah. So it's not really a multiverse. It's more like an extension world, I guess. There is a conceit in Witch and the Beast where their big magic, their like tech magic world.
Uh-huh.
There's a continent that has a big bottomless hole on it, right?
Yeah, as you do.
Yeah, a big mysterious bottomless hole just right in the middle of this continent. And so, as you do with big bottomless holes, they build an elevator in it. And the elevator goes down into the big bottomless hole, and when it opens the doors up, you are in a different world. And the season two, like, little teaser thing is that the doors open, and they're in underworld world.
They're in underworld world.
They're in underworld world, which is, that is a huge fucking fist pump moment for me, frankly.
I mean, is it like, okay, so Dorohedoro, I like the way that treats having like multi-layered worlds.
Yes.
Because it's not really a multiverse. It's like Earth and then
whole
hell, and then below hell is super hell.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Which I think is great and awesome.
It's great and awesome. And Witch and the Beast is very similar. And the thing I really like about the way the Witch and the Beast does it is that these like techno wizards go to great lengths to make sure that the other worlds don't know this giant hole exists. So they've been monopolizing the hole. So when they show up in the underworld world, they have to like dress up in like Matrix clothes and pretend that they're from the fucking underworld world. It's so good. It's so fucking good. I really like Witch and the Beast a lot. I think it's really good.
Okay, well that's a pretty good pitch, honestly, to keep reading it.
Hell yeah, dude. Hell yeah.
That sounds great.
It's fucking great. So they drop, yeah, that's the big, like, hey, like, wink, wink, you know, do you want to see what happens next? Like, you got to be salivating for this shit, right? I mean, come on. It's these characters you know and love now, and they're in underworld world? Come on, dude. You want to watch this shit.
But also at the same time, that's when Bleach started sucking.
I would argue that Bleach kind of always sucked.
Touche, touche.
You know, when Bleach introduced all the big side characters, you know, his friend group, and like uh-huh. not a single one of them hit, I kind of knew. You know what I mean?
What, you didn't like such side characters as muscular tan foreign guy, nerd, and girl with big boobs?
You know, there was something about them that just wasn't clicking with me. Yeah. The only thing I remember about them is that the girl had, like, a hair clip that turned into her, like, magic weapon or something.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
That's literally the only thing I can remember about any of those characters. And they, like, die, maybe. Maybe not. I don't know. I don't like Bleach.
Death doesn't mean anything. That's
yeah, they're like reapers or whatever, right?
I mean, it starts off with the main character dying.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought for a long time Bleach is just bad Yu Yu Hakusho. That's not a new take or a controversial take.
Not for this show.
No, not for this show.
Anyway, those are the finales. Basically the only two shows that our watch group made it to the end of.
Well, you were tying that up. My eyes were strictly pointed towards the future because I'm a forward thinking man.
Yeah.
That's how I work.
No time for the past.
Nuh-uh. You know, if you don't hook me, you're dropped. I didn't make it to the end of a single series that I wasn't already invested in.
You didn't get anywhere. You remember that movie with Justin Timberlake, In Time?
Yeah, I do actually remember that.
Yeah. That's you.
I didn't finish watching it. I didn't have time to finish it.
You didn't finish it? That's
nope.
A shame, because in the end, they all get time back. It's like fucking daylight savings time up in that shit.
In the world of that movie, daylight savings time is basically like getting your tax refund every year. Like, right? Like, oh shit, it's daylight savings. We all get an extra year of living.
Yeah, but they just take it away again in 6 months.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's like having to pay your taxes.
Yeah, exactly. It's fucked up world, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, you ever think about that? You ever think about how fucked up that is? Damn, dude. That shit's fucked
hey,
up.
Hey, did you ever think about how the world of In Time was actually like, it'd be kind of bad to live in that.
Bro, what if time was money, bro? Like, what? Bro.
But also, Olivia Wilde would be my mom, So, I don't know.
That would fuck you up. I think that would fuck you up.
Having hot Olivia Wilde as your mom?
Yeah. I think that would fuck you up. I gotta be honest.
Oh, man. Then do I have an anime for you?
Oh, hell yeah.
Because I was jumping headfirst into the new releases still coming out for the spring season.
Yeah.
And you know what I watched?
What'd you watch?
I watched Grandma and Grandpa Are Young Again.
Now, this isn't called Grandma and Grandpa Get Hot Again, right?
That's what it should have been called. That is by far the more accurate title.
That's what I was under the impression of. But it is, they just get young.
Yeah, well, they do get... Okay, so the setup is we have an old couple, and they've always been kind of poor, but I guess in the kind of poor that, like, generational landowners can be kind of poor.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean.
Right, because they have, like, a what? They have, like, an orchard or something?
They have an apple farm.
That's an orchard.
Yes, they have an apple orchard. It's unexplained why or by which means they get this blessing, but one day they discover a golden apple growing on one of their trees. And they each take a bite.
Oh yeah, we have those in the grocery store every once in a while. They're nice.
Yeah.
They're called honey apples.
Mm-hmm. I mean, are they literally plated in gold?
No, I don't think so.
I mean, okay. If you saw a gold, like a chrome, shiny gold apple growing on a tree, your first instinct would not be to take a bite out of it, right? It would, like, hurt your teeth.
I don't know. I did drink exclusively Goldschlager for, like, a year and a half when I...
And did that make you young and hot?
It made me very sick. It made me very sick.
Well, they eat this golden apple and... They turn young and hot again.
Cool.
And that is the premise of the show. No, it's not. The premise of the show is that they turn young and hot, and all of their family members want to fuck them suddenly.
Oh my god, what?
Yeah.
Wait, for real?
For real.
For real?
For real.
No way. I would not have guessed that in a million years.
Yeah, so the first joke after they discover that they've turned young and hot again is their granddaughter comes over to check on them, and suddenly she's like, "Oh wow, Grandpa, you're hot. Hey Grandma, can I hang out with Grandpa more?"
Okay, so she immediately recognizes that it is Grandpa.
Yes.
So,
also, that is one thing about this. No one is surprised. No one seems to care one bit about the fact that they have de-aged. And for some reason, they still have gray hair. Because we do get flashback scenes to when they were younger. And they did have, you know...
regular hair.
Regular dark-colored hair. Yeah. And their current-day hot old person bodies... are apparently just young people, but with, like, silver gray hair.
I like that look.
Yeah,
you know?
No, it's fashionable.
I like the gray hair look.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great. It's not, you know, it's no stranger to anime having a gray, silver haired character, right?
Yeah, it usually means that you're from the moon, though. You're a moon child. Here it just means that you're an oldie youngie.
An oldie youngie?
An oldie youngie.
so anyway, then we get introduced to their son and his wife, you know, their granddaughter's parents, and his son's wife wants to fuck him too.
Wow, cucked by your dad.
And there's, like, an entire ongoing gag where the granddaughter and the mom are arguing over who gets to who gets to pursue their hot grandpa father-in-law. That just, like, it happens. It's honestly, it's all very disturbing.
I genuinely thought, like, out of all the ones we talked about, this was going to be, like, the cute, wholesome show of the season.
No, it's about incest.
This for me.
It's about
you're
incest.
Ruining, how is the whole show, the cute show about grandma and grandpa getting to, like, relive their youth? How is this the incest show? Are you kidding me?
I'm not.
Oh my God. I'm so disappointed. And frankly, very disturbed. What the fuck is happening? What is happening over there?
Oh boy. All right. Well, the good thing is
wait, hold on. Is there anything else to the story, or is it literally just a weird...
Well, okay, so the first episode is split between, you know, an A and B kind of thing, like they do in these. The first half being the gag about them turning young, and apparently everyone wants to fuck the hot grandpa, and his son getting mad about the fact that his wife wants to fuck his dad.
Jesus Christ.
And then the second half is them... okay, so it's them participating in a local, like, sports competition put on by the high school where grandparents get to participate in some of the games, right? And I feel like not wrongly that allowing them to participate is kind of like cheating, right? Like they have strong young people bodies.
Yeah, so they're just ringers.
Yeah, well, they're roiding, basically. They're on that magic apple juice.
So they just jump in and they're just, like, fucking destroying these other grandpas?
Yeah.
That's fucked up.
And, you know, they do a joke about how all the old ladies in the village want to fuck the hot grandpa.
Everybody wants to fuck hot grandpa.
Yeah, everybody. And, like, the wife gets jealous about it. She has an ongoing thing. Her thing is that... The grandpa has like an old man rival that they used to date young hot grandma wife. Now they used to be suitors, and then hot grandpa stole her away from him, and he never got over it.
Okay, and so
her thing is kind of like, I guess dealing with that guy. I don't know. They haven't developed it much yet, but yeah.
I hate this.
You can see that this is not a wholesome tone to this anime.
I really hate this. I hate this so much.
It sucks. It's awful.
It sucks so bad.
And you put this on the list, I want to remind you.
Okay, well, the show in my mind was like...
What did you think this show was going
to
be?
I thought, okay, the premise to me is that, like, okay, grandma, grandpa, they've gotten old. They're reminiscing about their youth. They're like, man... We're so in love. We love life. It wouldn't it be great if we got another shot to go and do all the things that we wanted to do that before we, like, you know, croak?
That is word for word how the first episode starts off.
Okay, so they're on the same page as me. And then the thing would be, like, they de-age and they have, like, fun times, like, going around and doing, like, the things that they always wanted to experience if they had the time again, right? That would be the whole show.
No, it's about how everybody wants to fuck them because they're hot again.
This sucks, man. This fucking sucks. This sucks shit. I hate this.
Well, it's a good thing that is not the only anime that I watch.
Okay, well, that's good.
You know what else I watched?
I do.
I think that this will make you happy because I know you were looking forward to this.
I know exactly what you watched.
Oh, God. Are you spying on me?
Well, there's only one thing anybody would watch, right? I mean, there's a clear, like I said over and over again, there is a clear winner of this season.
All right. Then do you want to introduce this one?
Well, it's of course. I mean, I don't really even need to say it because everybody knows. But it is, of course, Sentai Daishikaku. Go, go, Loser Ranger.
Hell yeah.
Hell yes. The show that people continue to incorrectly describe as anime the boys.
That's not the vibe that I got from the episode that I watched at all. I would say that is probably detrimental to getting someone to watch this show.
Yes, I personally feel like that does Sentai Daishikaku a disservice. I think there's clearly something different going on here. And frankly, like, the tone isn't as edgelord as the boys constantly gets. It is not, let's say, to be fair to the boys, a darkly satirical tone.
That's being generous.
Yeah, it's more shonen-y, but it also is kind of playful about it. But it takes the main characters feeling seriously. you know?
The Boys is edgelord shit. I'm not going to edge around it. Like, it's pure edgelord.
You're not going to edge around it?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. You see what I did there?
You're not going to lord it over them?
Yeah.
I think what separates it is the fact that in The Boys, our main characters are not villains, right? I mean, this is obviously the most literal difference between them. In Sentai Daishikaku, the evil Power Rangers are consistently, like, ritualistically humiliating the defeated villains over and over again, like every week. And one of the villains, having his ego trampled constantly, finally decides that he can't let this injustice go. And he decides that he's going to essentially liberate himself and eventually the others by taking his revenge. That is fundamentally different from the way, what's his name, Huey interacts with the world of The Boys, which is that in a freak accident, his girlfriend gets killed, and so he wants to take revenge because the world is unfair.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like he has a bit more of a justified reason than that. That's a bit reductive, you know.
You think so?
Well, the entire reason he wants to get revenge is because they try and cover up the fact that...
Oh, because he, like, settles out of court and he gets, like, screwed.
Yeah,
right,
exactly.
Yes.
It's not just that he hates superheroes because they accidentally killed his girlfriend, although that is a perfectly fine reason.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine to hate...
They punched him around a bit more than that in the show, at least.
Sure, but he is not, like, literally enslaved by a team of superheroes and needs to liberate himself. So our main character, despite being a villain, is very ironically positioned as the show as a heroic liberator. So this is a very different thing. And also, it just looks cool as hell, and The Boys kind of has a dour look to it.
Yeah.
And this is vibrant and cool and fucking anime as hell.
Well, okay, so these were the thoughts that were kind of swirling around in my head when I was watching this, because, first of all, I want to establish that when I was a kid, I was big into Power Rangers. Like, that was my jam, right?
Sure, sure.
From, like, 6 to 10 years old, I was super into Power Rangers and Big Bad Beetleborgs was the other one. You remember that one?
Yeah, the Goth Power Rangers.
Yeah, Goth Power Rangers.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that was part of a mix of things that got me into anime in general. But it was definitely one of those things that was my first introduction to, like, Japanese television. Even though the version of Power Rangers that I was watching was the kind of, like, Americanized cut-together version that they made.
Yes, a proto-CW version.
But I recognize, like, the, you know, the miniature fights and the costumes and all that. I recognize that from, because I was also watching Godzilla movies at the time.
As a six-year-old.
Yeah, like, as a, yeah, you know. Yeah. I watched a lot of Godzilla as a young person.
Damn, I wish I had cable.
No, this is all from the video store, baby.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, me and my grandpa would go every Friday down to the video store and pick out a Godzilla movie.
Damn. As a six-year-old?
Yeah.
Okay, grandpa.
He was cool.
Yeah, and super hot, and everybody wanted to fuck him. Yeah, I went as a Power Ranger for a couple Halloweens when I was a kid. I get it.
Well, what I'm trying to get at is when you look at how Sentai stuff is in Japan, it kind of has this background culture, right, of the festival circuit of doing, like, live, like, skits and plays in character.
Yeah.
And that's what they're doing in this show. It's an extension of that.
Yes.
Where it's like kids go to the fair and they see the Sentai show and they beat the bad guys in costume and,
yeah,
you know, there's maybe some fireworks or something, right?
Yeah.
And
what if that was both real and staged?
Yes.
Like, at the same time.
Well, here's what I'm getting at is there is a heavy connection that I'm now starting to realize because I'd never paid attention to it before.
Uh-huh.
But between, like, the Sentai stuff in Japan and American televised wrestling.
You're just putting this together.
I'm just putting this together.
Holy shit, dude.
Yeah.
Okay. But didn't we talk about this before? Because I was telling you about Record of Ragnarok being just wrestling. It's literally just wrestling.
You know, we may have touched on it before as well, but like that's it.
He doesn't listen to me.
I don't listen to
him.
He
doesn't listen when I'm talking.
I don't get paid enough to listen.
Now you see it, though. Now you see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yes, it's absolutely wrestling. And what this isn't The Boys. What this is a story about a guy who's got, he's finally fed up with fucking Vince McMahon putting down his career, and he's breaking kayfabe.
Absolutely. Yes. Correct. Correct. Yeah. He wants to go backstage and like fuck some shit up.
Yeah. No, he's like throwing a chair at the judge's head, but for real.
But for real.
Like, with assault charges.
Yeah. And I gotta say, I've been, like I said, reading the manga for a long time, and I love this little dude. I love this little dude. He is so endearing. I love the design of the little dudes.
I like their masks. I like their villain costumes.
Yes, their villain costumes are so great. They're like just little like skull dudes with their little white bandanas. Oh, God, I love them so much. I was a little surprised to see in the manga, they're basically all identical. In the anime, they decided to give them different body shapes for some reason.
And different voices, too.
Yeah, which is, you know, like, whatever. There's a weird thing where they, like, gender one of them for no reason.
Hey, it's kind of weird. I thought it was kind of funny.
It's fine. It's fine. It's just one of those like nitpick things from reading mm-hmm. the manga, but I don't know. It's weird, but I love their design, and I love this one dude in particular. I think he is so easy to root for. It's fantastic.
I'm rooting for him already.
Yeah. He's so lovable. He's a lovable little dude.
I think the Sentai costumes for the heroes are stupid, so I want them to lose. I don't even care that they're, like, supposed to be bad. If they were the good guys, I'd want them to lose.
You'd still want them to lose. Well, yeah. It gives you a little bit of perspective. You know, there's been for a while, I can't call it a recent trend, even though I want to because my sense of time has been completely annihilated. The trend of, like, anime characters being like, actually, as a kid, I used to root for the bad guys, you know, this like stupid, edgy, dumb shit that's been appearing in a lot of anime and manga. I'm sure you've come across this.
Well, I mean, this may be a side point, but what I really loved in this episode was that the thing that that finally pushed, you know, the main character over the edge that made him want to like finally like get his revenge is seeing the little kid tell him like, hey, go do your best, bad guy.
yeah
God, he's like, they don't even see us as a threat. We're not real to them. Like, they know we're losers and they know that this is just a show.
I think that's one read of it. I think the other read is recognizing like there is someone on your side, like someone is has expectations of you. I think that is the read that the sidekick villain kind of gives, you know, when he says up in the spaceship when they're doing like the post-mortem on their battle or whatever.
Yeah.
He tells our main dude, Foot Soldier D, he tells our main dude how it was a weird experience when he looked over and he saw a kid rooting for him. And it gave him a strange feeling of like wanting to meet that expectation and that like awaken something.
See, I relate to the cynical take.
Yeah,
you
prefer the cynical take. I think thematically it's, you can look at it through both lens. I think thematically it's interesting to proceed through the show with like either one of those things on your mind, but I would urge you to think of both of those as you watch them.
Yeah.
I think this shit rules. I think this is the first time, like I was saying, that I think I actually root for the bad guy, like actually works for me. The other one that I come to is, I told you about a rom-com a while back called like, I Want to Do Bad Things With You.
Yeah.
About a girl, and her whole thing is like also that she's like a big, tall, awkward girl. She doesn't have any friends, and she's like does her awkward main character narration thing. And she was like, as a kid, I always rooted for the bad guy because they like, even though they get defeated, and even though like people don't want them to accomplish their goals, they just do it anyway. And I wish I had that strength. And then she meets like a kid who's got a weird chip on his shoulder. So he's constantly doing like weird pranks at school. And she's like, this is the coolest kid I've ever met. which I like. I like that rom-com a lot. It's, I don't know. It doesn't have a lot of places to like
classic,
grow.
Classic bad boy attraction, right? He doesn't give a
shit. Yeah, except he's a bad boy who like is extremely sickly. He's like a fourth generation aristocrat child. He's like super inbred.
He's got anemia.
Yeah, he literally does.
He's got that disease where he can't be in the sun for too long.
He literally does. He literally does.
Translucent skin.
He has a cane and he like has to bring a parasol around with him wherever he goes. He's like super sickly,
but he also just doesn't give a fuck. He's, that's just his thing,
basically. Yeah,
I mean, if I was super sickly like that and rich, I wouldn't give a fuck.
Yeah, why would you give a fuck? He's just very surly, and he's off-putting because it's him revolting at the world, right?
Sure.
He doesn't care about how he appears to other people because he already knows they think of him as like the weird little aristocrat kid who is like needs to sleep in an oxygen tent.
I mean, to be fair, he sounds like a dick.
He's all right. He's kind of fun. He's an okay character. Most of the time, he's just trying to fuck with his like much more popular brother, which is like, yeah, I get it. But that's kind of the only other case where I think that's like actually worked for me. I think most of the time you get characters that are like, I root for the bad guys, actually. And it's like, it's a real pick me shit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it. So this one, like having the kid, right, be like, you know, Gambare to the foot soldier is kind of that feeling, but like actually legitimized. Is like that kid being like, wow, I see these little dudes get their ass kicked every single week, but like they still come back and like try to win. There's something kind of cool about that.
Yeah, that's a little bit inspiring. I can see it.
Yeah, that part finally like works for me.
Okay.
Did you watch through the credits? Because they do a really cool thing where they show all the animatics and like the process of creating the scenes.
Oh, no, I didn't.
Oh, it's really good. It's very, very cool. It's one of the most interesting ways to do end credits. I kind of wish more shows did that because they fully illustrate like what it takes to bring one scene to the screen. And I think anime fans would benefit from knowing like how many fucking steps there are and like how hard it is to do even like 10 seconds.
Listen, I refuse to acknowledge the suffering that goes in to the things that I enjoy, and it's easier that way. So I don't need you bringing down the vibe, okay?
yeah, all right, okay.
Fuck those animators.
Wow, you sound just like the leadership in MAPPA. We've rambled long enough. I'm running out of steam. Let's take a break.
Yeah, let's take a break.
Guys, you know, in the spirit of Sentai Daishikaku, which I love saying, I'm gonna continue calling Go-Go Loser Ranger Sentai Daishikaku, because I really think we need to up the weeb content of this podcast. We've really fallen behind in that regard.
Yeah, we're really lacking on being exemplars of the weeb society here.
Yeah. Do you think people still like even use the term weeb, or has it become so normalized that we don't need a derogatory term?
It's definitely an old head term, you know?
Yeah, it feels old head for sure. So perfect for us, I guess.
Yeah. We're Jesus anime Christ. Fans in our mid-30s.
If that.
I wouldn't exactly call myself a fan.
Yo, that part too, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, yeah,
30s.
Oh, yeah, uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So, you know, in the spirit of Sentai Daishikaku and Foot Soldier D, Foot Soldier D is sort of the NPC, the background character of the Power Ranger world, kind of like spontaneously developing main character syndrome.
Sure.
And I was thinking about that too, because also Dungeon Meshi, the last episode, was really focused on Kaburu, who also is an NPC who has intense main character syndrome.
No, I don't think he's an NPC. I wouldn't call him an NPC. That's cutting
him
short.
He's definitely an NPC. He's an NPC for sure.
He's a PvP dude.
The thing is that his whole joke is he's an NPC who thinks he's like a rival or whatever, but he's not. He is literally just an NPC with
main
character
syndrome. He's the Gary. If you want to call him anything, you know. He's Gary. He's Gary Oak.
In that you forget he exists most of the time until he like shows up and he's like, "You're my rival."
He's the literal embodiment of the "I don't think about you at all" meme.
Yeah, I don't think about you at all. That's exactly what
he is. Well, I mean, that's the ongoing joke, is that Laos can never remember who they are every time they show up.
Yeah.
He's like, "Who are you again?"
Because he's an NPC. So in that spirit, I was thinking like, you know, everybody talks about like what powers they would like to have if they were in a shonen, or like what kind of hero would they be, or what kind of villain would they be? Mm-hmm. But I think it's way more interesting to be like, what kind of NPC would you want to be? Like world would like...
Oh, hell yeah, dude.
What world would an NPC have like an interesting time in, right? I guess
you
could frame it like that.
You know where I would have a kick-ass time as an NPC?
Where's that?
I would be that little Kokiri kid in Ocarina of Time that runs the shop in the starting village that sells like nuts and wooden shields and like sticks and shit.
Yeah, you'd be selling sticks to people. Like,
yeah, no.
Little fucking asshole.
No responsibilities. Like, fuck, dude, you want a stick? Yeah, I guess they cost money. How much? I don't know.
I don't really know what money is, because we all just live in this forest commune. But
yeah, we're literal forest elves that live in trees and shit.
I noticed you like picking up those weird crystals in the grass like constantly. Maybe give me some of those. They seem interesting. I don't know why.
I'd hang out there all day, dude.
I would definitely want to be, I think... Some of the more obvious answers would be like, you know, you'd want to be like a Joe Bro or something, right?
Those aren't NPCs, though. You are either a featured character, or, you know, you wouldn't want to be an NPC in JoJo. That comes with a degree of risk.
Yes, it's very dangerous to be an NPC in JoJo. I would want to be an NPC in, you know, thinking of like Butchigiri, I want to be an NPC in one of these like delinquent high school like action comedies, because your whole shit is just like being a bro and like hanging out with your guys and like having fun and going on adventures and shit. And
sure,
like there's rivalries and you get to like get into big fights with like other gangs and like... All of that camaraderie would just be like tight as hell. That would be so fun.
Yeah, I'm surprised that in light of the quote unquote male loneliness epidemic, more stuff like that isn't getting more popular.
Well, you know, it's funny about the Butchigiri that I never mentioned, but like, you know, the whole conceit is that like this town has basically two big street gangs, you know. There's a third one that's like the troublemaker gang, but they're not really relevant to the story for the most part. But these two, it's like, you know, it's these two street gangs, and they constantly posture like they're like tough guys and they're like gonna go kick each other's asses. But as the story progresses, it really shows that they're just like boys clubs, and they just like want to hang out with each other and like have a good time. Beating each other up is just a fun
okay,
thing.
I just want to say that Butchigiri is not the first thing to showcase how gay being in a gang is, because West Side Story has been around for fucking ever.
Yes, there is a long pedigree. I understand. You know, in that spirit, I think a lot of those, that style, even if it's not necessarily like the delinquent gang thing, but like, you know, being in Great Teacher Onizuka's class, you know,
I
like,
was
that would
just
be fun.
Thinking that, oh my god,
really,
that is
really?
So I was about to bring that up. That is so
really?
Weird. Yeah,
I think that would be
I was
really
about to say
fun.
Like I could chill being one of the class kids but not one of the main ones in Great Teacher Onizuka.
Yeah, you don't want to be, like, directly involved in the drama, but if you were just, like, hanging around, like, that seems like a good time.
Read my mind.
Yeah, I think that would be cool.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Okay, here's one. I'd want to be, like, just one of the chill Digimon that the kids meet in one of the episodes. That's just, like, cool.
Oh, yeah?
And they're just like, oh, hey.
You wouldn't want to be a tamer. You'd want to actually be a little monster.
Oh, yeah, no, I'd want to be a Digimon.
You want to be a little freak.
Yeah.
Okay.
Preferably a little freak.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. But, like, not one of the malicious ones. Just, like, one of the ones where it's, like, you know, they would occasionally have these laid-back episodes. You know, filler episodes where they don't do anything particularly important. They just kind of go to a weird location and showcase, like, oh, hey, isn't the Digiworld weird?
Look at these weird little guys.
Yeah. Look, it's like a bunch of little dudes, and they're shaped like poops, and they have a little village.
Oh, gross.
Okay, you know the episode of Adventure Time where Finn turns into the Hug Wolf?
Yes.
I think that I just want to be one of the little, like, house people, one of the little village building people that he's trying to protect from the Hug Wolf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just little guys.
Just a little guy. Just a weird little guy.
I think being a little guy would be great.
Yeah.
Just a little guy in the background of, like, a fantasy world. If you're, like, one of those elves or whatever, like, doesn't get a name, but you're, like, just chilling around, you're, like, just naturally, through fantasy eugenics, you're just, like, naturally handsome and talented, but
yeah.
It doesn't matter because you're just, like, part of the commune or whatever.
Just like,
you know?
One of those hobbits that you see at the party in Lord of the Rings, right?
Yeah, oh, but they get fucked up pretty bad by the end.
Well, not in the movies. It doesn't get there in the movies.
Oh, yeah? Even in the extended cut?
They never do anything with that, the scouring of the Shire segment from the end of the books.
They never do that?
They never do that.
What a missed opportunity.
Well, you know, they were already carrying on a little bit.
They are a bit long. You know what I would love to do? I would love to be an NPC in, just since we were just talking about it, I would kind of love to be, now this seems counterintuitive, but Dorohedoro.
Oh, okay.
Just be a guy in that world because as horrifying as it is, like how laissez-faire life and death is in that world, it still seems like pretty chill and fun. I don't know.
Basically, if you can make a world where like the food looks good, I'll, you know, I'm fine with it either way.
You don't care as long as
I won't eat those fucking gyoza, dude. I'm all about gyoza.
I would just want to be like part of this world where anything could happen. You just like, you're on a baseball team and like one of the other players turns out to be like an animatronic zombie guy and one of them is a giant beetle.
Yeah,
and you're just
yeah.
Like, no, this is chill. I think this is cool. And like, I don't know, maybe somebody hits a home run and it like goes through another guy and you're like, damn. But it's not that big of a deal because like no one takes that shit like super seriously in Dorohedoro.
Oh man.
It's just kind of like, wow, that was weird.
You know what Doro kind of gave me similar vibes to? And I say this may be a bit of a reach. It's a bit of a loose connection here. But
yeah,
I thought a lot about how I felt when I was reading The Incal. Did you ever read The Incal?
I've never read all of The Incal, but I know the whole thing. I'm familiar with the whole thing.
You know, Mobius, Jodorowsky,
Dream Team.
I would chill in the background of one of those kind of weird cyber fantasy surrealist settings.
Yeah,
just be like a dude with a big coat and a weird hat,
like a Transmet character to you,
yeah,
something like that.
I don't know. Transmet is a bit mean-spirited, a bit grimy than I'd want to exist in, you know?
You wouldn't want to do that? Or like in Ghost in the Shell, you wouldn't want to be like one of the
Ghost
of the
in the Shell is closer, or like one of those guys, you know, with like weird goggles, just eating noodles at the beginning of Blade Runner, just like eating noodles next to Deckard, next to Harrison Ford.
Sure.
I almost called him Deckard Cain for some reason.
Deckard Cain. Yep.
Rick Deckard.
Rick Deckard Cain.
Yeah.
I think that would be pretty tight. What about like being one of the, like the weird techno nomads from Blame? Like your whole shit is like super fucked.
No, Blame is a little much. Like I don't want to be super fucked.
That's too much. You wouldn't want to be super fucked.
Yeah, no. I want like
no post-apocalypse.
If I'm gonna be an NPC, I definitely want a setting where it's like I could just chill in. You know.
What about like a Prison Break manga, like Sasori or? I shudder to say a prison school where it's like,
yeah, no, I don't want to be a prisoner. So no,
Dead Man Wonderland, something like that. I think that would be chill though. I think that would actually be pretty chill.
You think that would be chill getting harassed by prison guards and shit?
Yeah. I mean, look, your life has conflict in it. And occasionally there's life or death stakes, but that's what keeps it interesting. That's what keeps you going. That's what keeps you motivated. That keeps your life full of surprises. You know, you the thing you want to avoid the most is like a life of stagnation, because an NPC can become, you know, locked into a routine, right? They can just become one thing.
You could just be that guy that stands outside the village saying, "Hey, welcome to the village."
Yeah, well, you know that guy like in every spy movie, or you know, in Spy Family, like the guy who just works at the tobacco stand and his whole life is just standing at the tobacco stand so that he can occasionally pass like a secret message back and forth. Like that would be boring as hell. You never get to do anything.
Yeah, well, I mean, he seems chill. Not really, but you know, he gets by.
Yeah, he's chill, but like you wouldn't want to be that guy.
I don't know. I could be that guy.
You could be that guy?
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like anything like shopkeep, I could totally chill with that.
You would be a shopkeep?
Yeah.
What about one of those cool shopkeeps that like has like a secret inventory? That'd be dope.
I would be one of those like weird shopkeeps that sells like junk and shit at Walmart in Final Fantasy VII.
Oh yeah.
And like I live in a big pipe with a ratty curtain drawn over it, and that's just like my life.
Sure. And occasionally you have to ask an adventurer like to gather your chickens.
Yeah. Well, that goes back to the Zelda thing, you know.
Yeah.
I would totally be any number of NPCs in Zelda, like the chick in Ocarina of Time, where she just perpetually asks you to gather up her cuckoos, her cuckoos.
Yeah, her cuckoos.
Her cuckoos.
Her cuckoos.
Her cucks.
I think I would like to be, this seems obvious, but like an NPC in One Piece, because every island adventure eventually ends up gathering basically everybody who's ever been even slightly involved into like a big central conflict, and everyone gets to like do something cool, like even if you're a completely nameless character from like one scene 100 chapters ago, you get to like do some cool shit. I think that would be great. And plus, for the most part, you're just hanging out in like a magical land. Every once in a while you get to see some devil fruit user come through and do like the craziest shit you've ever seen. That'd be dope.
Yeah, but you also have to deal with fucking world government bullshit.
Yeah, but if you're an NPC, you're keeping your head down.
The global fascism is a big turnoff for me. I'm just
it's
saying.
It's not great. What about, how uncouth of me to suggest, but, you know, one of these like sex comedy romps where like everybody's getting laid constantly.
Don't you know? Nobody likes reading about sex or seeing sex anymore.
Everybody hates that.
Sex isn't woke.
They don't. People want sexiness, but they don't want anyone to have sex. Like that part is off limits. Characters like being horny bait is almost necessary.
Uh-huh.
But like if a single character like has consensual sex, oh, it's fucking game over. It's fucking game over.
It honestly scares me to see how fast we are sliding into fixation based like idol fandoms. Like this is all stuff that we can demonstrably see that's already happened. You know, look at the way that K-pop or J-pop idols have been treated in the past, and having to like, you know, hide the fact that they're dating or married because that's a turnoff for their fans, right?
Well, I was gonna say, actually, of one of the worlds I'd love to be an NPC in.
Don't say Oshinoko.
No, God, no. No, yeah, I'd get to be famous, right? It's called Ogami Sumiki to Kinichijo. This is the one about, it's a rom-com about a boy and the wolf girl. Uh-huh. I told you about this, right?
No, Spice and Wolf.
No, it's way better than Spice and Wolf.
I don't know.
Because he goes to a school where, like, monster kids all go to the school, and he, like, transfers in because he wants to go to a school with, like, monster girls, obviously. Like, who wouldn't?
Yeah, no, it's a totally reasonable and fact-based decision to make.
Yes, it seems like enrollment in that school would be, like, insanely difficult to get into. But just like an NPC in that world, like just chilling, you get to like hang out with Medusa girls and angel girls and werewolf girls and shit. Just chilling. Like that would be cool as hell. But like there was a big controversy about that, apparently. I'm not super tied in to what you loser ass nerds think about manga, but.
Nice one. You took them down.
So the main character is like crushing on this wolf girl, right? And she's like pretty much like reciprocating. She's like into him, obviously. And there's like a vampire boy and they're like chilling. And the vampire boy's like, oh, fuck, I'm like starving. Hey, will you let me like drink some of your blood? And the boy's like, ugh. But werewolf girl's like, yeah, sure. I know what it feels like to starve and not be able to like get your shit. And so he like chomps down on her. And it's like weirdly intimate, and the boy is just like watching.
Oh, he likes to watch
very uncomfortably. Well, no, that's the problem. And then people got very uncomfortable because, again, people project themselves onto the main characters of manga rom-coms, right? And like a bunch of people are like, "I'm getting cucked right now by the handsome vampire boy," because they've lost the ability to like separate themselves from the manga they're reading, and people got mad about that chapter. Can you believe that?
That's very funny to me.
It's very funny. It's very funny.
Well, it's, you know, I don't believe in audience self-inserts or escapism.
Well, you best start believing because you're in one.
Oh, no.
That's right. That's right. You're an audience insert as an NPC. You're inserting yourself directly into the world of your favorite manga.
I mean, I don't know. I don't get media as escapism. And so when people get like these intense emotional reactions to fictional events, like it's weird and pathetic to me.
I pity you.
Yeah.
I pity you. Look, this is again one of those things where like we are aging out of the ability to like interact with media in that way, because I know like this is a very popular mode of interacting with fan stuff, right? Like I don't think either of us have ever considered ourselves part of a fandom, you know, but that is like a part of life for most people now, young people anyway.
I don't get it. I've never liked any one thing so intensely to attach like what I would consider a major part of my personality to it. And that includes anime. Like, I want to be clear. We're doing an anime podcast. Anime is okay, people. Like, it's okay. It's just
it's
okay.
It's fine. It's fine.
It's like not my whole thing.
You do have a Baldur's Gate tattoo on your arm. I've seen it.
Well, yeah. Okay. don't forget the Neverwinter Nights tattoo on the other arm.
but forget about that. Don't worry about that. Right?
That's just because Drizzt Do'Urden is so sexy and cool.
Yeah. And you've read what, 15, 16 of those books?
A fair amount. Yeah. I don't think that we need to pin down an actual number. You know, you should be impressed because I don't even know how to read.
Yeah, and yet you clawed your way through at 24 Drizzt Do'Urden books because, damn, two cursed swords? That's the shit, dog. There's nothing better than that.
Actually, you know what? I would totally chill as just like an NPC in Baldur's Gate. I'll say that. That'd be cool.
Really? You think so? I feel like they're constantly being obliterated by evil wizards.
I mean, it's like Dorohedoro. Death and rebirth and relife means very little in that setting. You know,
life is cheap on the Sword Coast.
I mean, they say that in the text. That's just text, buddy.
That's just text, buddy. Okay, all right. Let's wrap it up.
All right.
We're losing the thread here. Okay, all right. Handsome, beautiful listeners, we have reached the end of this project. The podcast is over now. Goodbye forever.
Oh, no.
that's right. I'm calling it. Hey, check back next week. We may or may not be here. Well, I'll flip a coin. How about that? I'll flip a coin later.
You better show
Heads
up.
I win, tails you lose. How about that?
Oh, God.
In the meantime, post at us.
This is a cruel death game you're playing with us right now.
Since there are only fake death games this season, I am a little death game starved, I have to say. And I haven't found new death games to replace my old death games for a while. Tomodachi game is wrapping up, and that's really the last death game I've been reading. I gave up on Kakeguri because the plot just, like, stretched way too thin. Yeah, I guess I just have to make my own. I'm just going to play my little death game with the podcast.
Oh, God.
The podcast will live, or will the podcast die? You'll have to find out by following us on social media. Wow.
Oh, no. Spooky.
Oh, wow.
All right. All right.
Just do it, please. And I don't know. Leave a review or whatever.
I would really like that.
I'm not your young grandpa. I can't tell you what to do.
I am your young hot grandpa, and I am telling you to like and subscribe. Follow the TikTok, Rob Blue Sky, you know, do the stuff.
What was that, that Jackass movie? Old Grandpa or some shit?
Oh, Bad Grandpa.
Bad Grandpa. What if it was Young Grandpa and it was just like Steve-O or whatever without the old makeup? And he's like, no, trust me, I'm a grandpa.
They've got to have done that sketch by now, right? Where they just do the old man bit but with no makeup.
You just got to trust me, I'm an old man.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. All right. Let's take this off air.
Oh, God.
Okay. Handsome and beautiful listeners. Goodbye.
Bye.
I told Paul McCartney he sucks to his face.